The Kevin Smith Show, unique in the galaxy.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet we call Earth. Those of you who are joining us for the very first time tonight, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It is a good habit to get into. I got a couple of emails yesterday, actually flash messages. I could not deal with those during the show. Because they were of a technical nature, one from Thailand and one from Australia. Both of them said, I am trying to listen to the show watch the show, and I'm hearing two audio streams. So what do I do about that? Well, what that means is that, first of all, you are using the JetCast player. Now, the JetCast player has two audio controls. One is the radio show, and one is the television show, the video. Turn one off. So if you're going to watch, just turn off the audio on the player, and the video player inside that window will continue to provide both video and audio for you. So you just turn one of them off, and you're good to go. Some people who are new to the show do not realize, because, you know, they're coming in now and they think it's all video. No, this is a radio show. It is radio. And we just turn the cameras on so you can see as I do the radio show. So that's why during the breaks, during the commercial breaks, if you're getting both audio streams, they're different. The radio audio stream is different from the video audio stream during those breaks. So it can be confusing. Anyway, turn one off and you're good to go. Let me remind you, if you have not subscribed to the K-Files e-zine, you need to do that. It's free. Where's the genius in not getting our newsletter and then writing in and asking questions that were answered last week, the week before, this week, all in the K-Files e-zine. So if you haven't subscribed, it's free. As I said, where's the genius in not subscribing? Not much genius in that. And there are no strings attached. Okay, so that means a lot of times you see something that on the internet and it says, it's free. And then you go over there and try to do, get whatever it is for free. And they say, well, it's free when you buy this, or it's free when you give us the email addresses of 10 of your friends or something like that. We don't do that. We speak plain English here. Free means free. And just click where it says K-Files e-zine, subscribe. You will get a confirmation email with a link that you have to click in order to confirm that you did indeed intend to subscribe. If you don't click that, you're not going to get the K-Files e-zine. All right? So just 10 seconds to subscribe. Then you're going to get a confirmation email automatically. Click the confirmation link, and you're done. That's how easy it is. My guest this evening, back from the brink of demise, is Dick Criswell. The last time he talked with us, He was doing much, much better than he had been doing, but was still pretty weak. Well, he sounds much, much stronger now, and he is with us this evening. Dick Criswell, team member of the former AlphaCom unit and founder of IPUS. We'll be back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I stated, my guest this evening is Dick Criswell. He is no stranger to the Kevin Smith Show. He's been with us a number of times. And in some ways, probably one of the most controversial people we ever have on this show. But that's saying something, because we have lots of controversial people on this show. But Dick Criswell was a member of AlphaCom. He has above top secret clearance and was involved in investigating and researching a lot of the information that was in the hands of the government related to UFOs and extraterrestrials. He had the clearance for that and was involved in that, and has shared with us some really amazing information. Some of it sounds really fantastic, and then you think about it and you think, well, I don't know about that, and somewhere down the line you run into information that corroborates that really fantastic information that you heard from Dick Criswell. Just an amazing individual. He is the founder of IPUS, and that is the International Paranormal UFO Society. Dick, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin. It's always a pleasure being a guest.
You know, last time you were here, I really messed up the name of your organization. I for some reason, my mind just drew blanks when I started trying to say the name of the organization, but I got it right this time, didn't I?
Absolutely, you got it correct this time.
Well, I guess my pills are working then.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Dick, you were with us on the show, and then within a few days after that, you went back into a rehab center and spent some time there, and came out much healthier and stronger than when you went in.
That's absolutely correct. I went to the Indianapolis rehab hospital, and that's one of the best in the Midwest. And I'll tell you what, they teach you everything that you need to know there. Still not walking yet, but we're getting closer every day.
I believe you told me you can take a step or two.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's, well, it takes that first step, you know, in order to turn it into a walk.
Oh, yeah, you got to start with baby steps, and then you get along. But I'm an outpatient now. I do therapy on an outpatient basis.
Well, all I can tell you is that about that is that me and folks in this audience have been very concerned about you, and people have... All across the world have responded to our requests that they pray for you, or if they don't pray, if they meditate, whatever it is they do, we've asked them to do it in your behalf. And all across this world, people have been doing that. It's good to hear that you are making real progress, and you sound a lot better too.
Well, I'll tell you what, Kevin, all the prayers and all the well wishes and so forth, that really works. Don't let anybody ever tell you it doesn't, because in my case, it really worked.
So you still, the big mountain still left to climb here is relearning how to walk, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, I was out of commission there for about 8 months, and I forget what they say every day that you're down. It takes you so many days to get back, and
yeah.
And they just convinced me that it all takes time.
Well, I know that while you were down and while you were tied up with being in the rehab center and so forth, it is perhaps the case that you were not able to stay as on top of the information that we always discuss. I know you do stay busy, but the reason I say what I'm saying is I'm going to ask you about something, and it is entirely possible because of the fact that you have been in a rehab center that maybe you have not heard of this. So if you haven't, folks will understand why you haven't, but here it is. The military was allowing scientists to have access to certain data from secret military satellites. And the data they were allowing them to have access to had to do with incoming fireballs, meteors, etc. And it was very helpful to them because they were able to pinpoint really where a meteor entered the Earth's atmosphere, and they were able to tell if it made it all the way down to the surface or if it burned up or exploded or what happened. And they used this data to recover some bits of meteor from several locations that have been very, very useful to them in their scientific research. Suddenly, the Air Force has pulled that access. They no longer have that access, and the Air Force says that the data regarding these incoming fireballs is classified, and they will not let them have that data. Do you know anything about this?
I was basically briefed on that, and the only comment that I will make on that is I think that smells pretty bad because, see, they had allowed that before, and then all of a sudden they don't allow it. Something's up.
Well, I think something's up. You know, my mind can come up with a pretty good laundry list of things that it could be. And I think a lot of people, you know, can come up with a list of things that it could be. I'm looking at an article that was written by Jeff Brumfield, and he has tried to find out from several sources what was the reason that all of a sudden this data became classified, and then access to the data was yanked away from the scientists. And no one seems to know why, and the Air Force has not responded to the questions about it.
Well, could it be that we're getting bombarded by lots of craft out, in space, that they don't want our scientists available to it?
You know, it could be that. It could be. I was thinking about this, too. Let's assume, just for the sake of argument, that the stories about Planet X or Nibiru are true. Now, I'm just playing the devil's advocate here, because there are many people who absolutely think it's true, and there are people who think it's fiction. And I've got both groups listening to the show. But let's, for the sake of argument, say that it's true. It would seem to me that the incoming planet Nibiru, or Planet X, if those stories are true, would be pushing in front of it and a lot of force, and would be displacing a lot of rocks out there that have been in an orbit, so that if this data were continued flowing to the scientists, they might be able to figure out, hey, you know, all this stuff's coming from the same direction here. And,
that's,
you know,
a very good scenario, I think. That's one that I would give a great consideration to, Kevin.
Now, it could be something else. It could be there is a new satellite system, a new secret infrared satellite surveillance system that either is already up there or is about to be launched. And it could be that they're phasing out this old system, which really isn't old, but it will be the older system. Maybe they're phasing it out in favor of the new system, and they simply don't want any possible data to show up about where they're putting the new system.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying.
So if they're installing the new system in space, they don't want any spurious data showing up for scientists to say, aha, what's this? You know, and then be able to tell where the new satellites are. So it could be that, too. And that would make sense. I don't know. I just found that to be excessively interesting that they would just yank the data and not tell the scientists. Look, you know, I guess I look at this a whole lot different from the way those guys that make these decisions look at it. I think if that's what you're doing, you just tell the scientists, sorry, guys, we're putting a new system up. We're going to have to shut down access to the old system. And, you know, it's been a good ride, but the ride's over.
That sounds, you know, that sounds like they would do it. Yeah, I've seen that done before.
Well, it certainly would stop a lot of the speculation and a lot of questions. But, you know, as I've said when we've talked before, whenever data, when information, when evidence is not on the table, then all speculation is on the table. And, you know, that's just the way it works. All right, let's talk about Kokomo for a minute. Have you had any further updates on Kokomo?
I've had a couple conversations with a couple people, and just as soon as I'm able to get them to come to my house here, I should receive some more information. But I'm in contact with two individuals that had firsthand information, and we just haven't got together yet.
For our listeners who are relatively new, let me explain. When I say Kokomo, there is a place in the United States named Kokomo, and there was a rather fabulous UFO sighting there. And the reason I say it was a rather fabulous sighting is because it was UFOs fighting. And one of them shot a beam at the other one, and a beam of light. The one that got hit with that beam of light landed, and there were witnesses on the ground. There was actually a firefighter that walked right up on the thing. And, Dick, why don't you take it from there and just recount for us what this firefighter told you?
Okay, the firefighter told me that he was a couple other firefighters were the first on the scene, and he had actually touched the craft, and he said it made some kind of humming sound, and he said this thing was really sleek looking, and he couldn't see any windows or anything in this craft. And then the craft took off. But what they were hiding up there, there was a great big boom. Now it's called the Kokomo Boom. And, of course, you know, the officials kind of said it was a jet that had caused that. And that was totally false. But the firefighter had told me that he touched the craft, and he said it was sleek looking, and he couldn't tell whether there were any occupants or anything in the craft, and then it took off.
And it was a pretty large craft, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, I think he said it was about 300 feet.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty, pretty good size.
Pretty good size craft.
All right, now, and he was not the only one to see this. There were others with him, right?
That is correct.
Well, what's the deal with that boom? What caused the big sound, the big boom that everybody heard?
Okay, we understand that when they were firing at each other, they had triggered some kind of sound or something up there, because one of the witnesses that wasn't even in the firefighters had told me that as soon as it got, he believes it got shot down. So that's what the boom was.
Mm-hmm.
So the witnesses told me there were no jets in the sky when all this went down, because, you know, you can see the jets and so forth, but there were no jets. There was just these two craft shooting at each other.
All right. Now, have you had any further contact with this firefighter?
No, but he's supposed to be getting in touch with me towards the end of next week.
Mm-hmm. And he was, if I'm not mistaken, he was going to try and get another one or two of the people that were with him when he saw all of this. He was going to try and get one or two of them to talk to you as well, right?
That is correct, yes.
Do you know if he's been successful in convincing any of those guys to talk to you?
I know that there's at least one or two more. And, you know, I mean, there was a lot of these people that were threatened, you know, not to talk. And he said it's really been a hard go trying to get people to come forward to talk to me.
Who threatened them?
Government. They were right on top of this thing, and they were told that, you know, to leave it alone. You didn't see anything. You don't know anything.
All right, well, now, when we say government, I mean, in this country, government is absolutely massive. So how did this firefighter know that these guys were government? What agency did they say they worked for?
They never told him any agency. They just flashed this ID and told him that they were told that you didn't see anything and you don't tell anything. And he says, believe me, he said they looked like they were a show of force. He said they were all dressed in suits and everything, and he said it shook him up a little bit, but he said, the hell with that. He said, this is too big to hold back.
Good for him. All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this break. More with Dick Criswell and the Kokomo Story. My guest this evening is Dick Criswell. Dick, we were talking about this this whole Kokomo thing, and we were talking about the firefighter saying that people from the government threatened him. And but now, what kind of threats? I mean, it's one thing to walk up and say, you didn't see anything, you didn't hear anything. It's another thing to make a threat. What did they threaten him with?
Well, they told him that if he wanted to keep his job, he'd keep his mouth shut. That's basically what they threatened him with. And he said, he told me, he says, well, who are they gonna talk to? He says the people that hired me are the ones that could fire me. He said, not the government.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't a bit intimidated, but he said some of the other people that they talked to were really, really scared because, you know, it's kind of hard to get a job these days.
Well, it is hard to get a job these days, and even the sinfully, woefully underpaid jobs are hard to come by. And so I can understand why they would feel a little bit intimidated by the threat. He said these guys talked with everyone at the scene?
That's correct.
And so that includes police officers that were there?
Oh, yeah. I've yet to get a police officer, but we're trying to... I know of one police officer that might come and talk to us about it, because he flat says, I've seen too much stuff to make me believe that there's not something from outer space. And he said he believed in life out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe we'll get a talk to him.
Well, I just will say again, because I know that whoever was behind, whatever agency, whoever they were that was behind threatening these people, are very likely listening to the show. So let me just say again, learn from history, gentlemen. Put your feet on the throats of the public, and sooner or later they fight back. And, you know, if you don't want to spark those revolutionary tendencies, get your feet off the throats of the people. You know, up to you. I would just say, remember Milosevic. You know what happened? What happened was his own people took him down. All right, this policeman said he believes that, in fact, there are other intelligent species living out there in space. Now, I don't have any problem with that. I, in fact, have a problem with the idea that we are alone in all the vastness of this universe, that only we exist as an intelligent species. I have a big problem with that. That makes no sense to a rational, logical mind at all. But let me divide this next part of our discussion into two parts, and that would be intelligent species that may live in our own solar system, you know, the eight or nine planets. Nine planets, if you still count Pluto as a planet, that are in our solar system. And then beyond our solar system out there. So within our own solar system, Dick, while you were with AlphaCom, did you see any evidence, any files, anything that said that within our own solar system, these nine planets, there are intelligent beings living on some of these planets? Did you see any of that?
Yes. Yes. There were four different planets that was discussed. One of them, of course, I believe it was Adamski that said that Venusians, he met her or something like that. I can't remember.
Not only did he say that he met people from Venus, there is a photograph that was published in which he identifies one of the people in the photograph as being the human-looking figure from Venus.
Yeah, I remember that picture. Yeah.
And, but you saw information that corroborates that and says that it is true. Is that correct?
Yes. There were four planets that they had talked about, which was Venus, Mars, the one that I had trouble with, as Pluto because that's so far out there. But they had stated that there was life on Pluto as well. And then I'm trying to think. There was of course Mars, and
what about Saturn?
That was one that was mentioned. Yeah, that was the other one.
Well, pretty interesting. I in preparation for tonight's show, I did some reading on recent research done on the planets of our solar system. Venus, they have discovered. I'm sorry, Pluto. Pluto, they have discovered, has as you descend through its atmosphere, you get down to the lower atmosphere, and it has a layer of methane. And of course, methane is one of the possible signs of biological life. But it's got a layer that's not a thick layer, but it's fairly dense with methane. And it's 40 degrees warmer than the temperatures at the surface. And so they're kind of puzzling about that. In the Saturn system, one of the things that they have discovered is that there's an abundance of water. Not necessarily on Saturn, but within the Saturn system and the moons of Saturn. And so that's a pretty interesting thing as well. And of course, we're all familiar with Mars and the many anomalies that have been seen on Mars. Let's talk about Mars for a moment. What's about to happen is NASA is sort of going into partnership with the European Space Agency on its next Mars mission. And they're going to be playing a major role in that next Mars mission with the European Space Agency. What's the deal with Mars? You've said you saw information in these secret files that says there is life on Mars. And I think in previous discussions, you've told me that it's actually under the ground. It's subsurface.
Yes.
What do you know about that? Who are they? What do they look like? What are they up to?
the guy that got me kind of into the Mars thing, way before I got to AlphaCom, was Mr. Hoagland, and some of the stuff that he presented is right on. And in the Mars people, according to the document that I've seen, look almost exactly like us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, human-like, and they do live underground because there was something that happened on the surface. I think I've seen a document said that they were hit by something, a couple big asteroids or something, and they had to move inward instead of being on the surface of Mars.
Okay, and what's the state of their technology now? I mean, that would have been a worldwide cataclysm for them. And, I guess could have put them sort of back into the Stone Age. Is that what happened? And are they as advanced as us? Or were they able to maintain their technological prowess and they're more advanced than us? Which way did it go?
No, the information that I've seen is they were back into a primitive stage because most of the technology and so forth that they had on Mars was done away with in this cataclysm.
Mm-hmm.
So the paper kind of said that they were kind of at a standstill after this cataclysm, and they were trying to rebuild, but only underground.
You know, what's kind of interesting about that is if you sort of, let's just for the moment assume that all of that's exactly as the file that you read. All right. Now, kind of transport your minds, folks, into Mars. Sort of transport yourself into being there. And here you are as one of these people that has survived this cataclysm many, many thousands of years ago. You're having to live underground, and things are very primitive. And then, all of a sudden, these things start showing up. We here on this planet call them landers. We call them rovers. They start showing up and digging around, and somehow you sort of discover that those things are out there. You would consider, if you were one of those Martians, you would consider us to be the highly advanced extraterrestrials, or highly advanced aliens coming to visit. Imagine what that must be like for them. It's got to be a little bit spooky. We don't think of ourselves as being the aliens, but they would, don't you think, Dick?
I see your point, and I agree.
And, you know, it may be that that's kind of how it is with extra, what we call extraterrestrial races. They don't see themselves as being alien, but we do, and because we're sort of primitives ourselves. All right, now, what sort of, did you see anything that described the sort of folks that are living over around Saturn?
There were, I think the document said that there was just life. They didn't go into any culture or any kind of technology or anything like that. They just, I think the paper said, that I recall, just said that there was life on that planet.
All right, what about Pluto?
And they claimed that there was life on Pluto. Now, they didn't go into detail what the life was, but they said there was life on that planet.
Last week, there was a report that came out in the news about a scientist working for NASA who discovered a bacteria in an ice core, and it's like from 200,000 years ago. And when the ice began to melt, this little bacteria wiggled to life. It was still alive, but it does not require oxygen to live, and they don't know what it is. But it was a NASA scientist by the name of Richard Hoover that discovered it. All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Dick Criswell. And Dick, when we went away for break, I had just made the point about this scientist working for NASA that discovered this bacteria that's like, I don't know, 200,000 years old, something like that. And when the ice melted, this little bacteria just sort of wiggled to life, and it's living. They don't know what it is, and you know, it's, but it did not require oxygen to live, and it survived without oxygen. It survived apparently without food for 200,000 years. He made the statement that this will help us to better understand extraterrestrial life. He did not say this will help us to understand any possible extraterrestrial life or any life that may exist out there. He said this will help us to understand extraterrestrial life. And that, I thought, spoke volumes. Maybe he didn't intend it to speak what it spoke, but to me, it sounds like maybe he knows that there is life out there, and it does not require the same things that they have been thinking life requires.
I believe you're correct on that, because there's a movement right now, Kevin, of people that want to tell the truth about what they know, more so than one would think, because I was in touch with this guy the other day, and he said, you're going to be surprised what comes out over the next few months.
And is he on the inside? Is he in the government or what?
Absolutely. And I think it's because Obama is open to this. I'm telling you, he's one of these people that, I mean, it looks like now that we're kind of stationary in a lot of things, but he definitely wants to bring this all out in the open. So
well, he certainly has some people around him who have been outspoken about it in the past, saying it needs to be made public.
That's right. That's right. And then I believe it was Leon Panetta and some of the other people that was around him that really wanted a hearing on this.
And when you were with us before, I believe it was either you or it was Stephen Greer that said on this show that Henry Kissinger wanted this stuff out.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I said it, but Henry Kissinger definitely was interested in bringing this towards the public.
There's an email that's sort of circulating now on the Internet, and a story, information on the Internet, that says that on Friday this week, the French government is going to make disclosure. They're going to make public statements about the reality of the existence of extraterrestrials and their presence on Earth. Have you heard anything about this, Dick?
Yeah, I was briefed on it. Let's see, I think that was about 3 days ago that I had a phone call, and I was told that was coming, but I didn't know it was that soon.
Any idea what they're going to be talking about?
Well, I hope it's, you know, I keep hoping that we'll hear more news, but I think it's going to be kind of like the Canadians and you know, the various different things that, well, we'll come out with it after we look at all these pages and so forth, and nothing ever comes out about it.
Yeah, but see, the French, and this is what's kind of interesting to me, the French put all of their UFO files on the Internet. And then prior to that, they had this Cometa report, and that's where the French government, the French military, issued a report about UFOs, and they released that. As far as I know, it has not been translated into English. It may have been, but as far as I know, it hasn't. But I have seen excerpts from it that have been translated. So here they've got the Cometa report. They've put their UFO files out on the Internet. And so I'm sort of suspecting that if this information that we're hearing on the Internet is true, and if they do come out and say something, I'm sort of suspecting it's going to be pretty much blatant, in-your-face information.
Well, I hope it does, because then that will trigger some other movements is afoot.
It's also out there that other nations are going to follow suit very quickly after France, including the Netherlands, and I believe Germany. And so that's pretty interesting. I had Dr. Michael Sala on the show last night, and he is headed over to Barcelona. He's going to be going to this ExoPolitics conference that's going to be held over in Barcelona. And he was kind of interested. I talked with him after the show last night and found this out, that he was sort of interested that the nation of Albania, the conservative party, is sending two representatives to this conference. And he said, it was kind of interesting to me that you have, you know, the conservative party. It's a political party, and I think the ruling party right now in Albania, so it's a political party in a nation, is sending representatives to this ExoPolitics conference. So I said to him, it sort of sounds like that what's happening here is we're seeing the unfolding and the implementation of the very agenda that we were told about regarding that reported meeting at the UN, you know, where they said the governments will start making disclosure and start acclimating people to the reality of extraterrestrial life. It looks like that's what's happening.
And I think it's about time, Kevin. You know, I told you that if they don't start coming forward when they land, it's going to be egg on their face. You know what I predicted there, 2009-2010.
Yes, you did, as a matter of fact. And I think the first time you said that on this show was at the beginning of this year. Maybe it was late last year, but it was either late last year or the beginning of this year. No, it was late last year.
Right.
It was in 2008, and you said it will happen somewhere 2009 to 2010, somewhere in that time period.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you suspect is going to happen? You said you thought that there would be a big event that would take place, a big incident of some kind. What do you suspect it will be?
My sources say that if they don't start coming out with this, there's going to be a mass landing, and then, you know, they're not hidden anymore, and they'll have to come out with some kind of statement. You know, so I'd like to see that. I'd like to see a mass landing, so that these people that are the holders of what they know, the truth, could come out with this way before this event happens. And I think they all know that this is going to happen.
All right. Now, at that meeting, and I've had the Pickering brothers on the show talking about the information about that meeting at the UN, which was in February. Was that February last year?
I think that was last year. Remember I told you I had a guy in Mexico that was there, and I was supposed to get that program from that thing, and I never did get it.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, I've had the Pickering brothers, who are the sources of the information. Well, they're not actually the sources. They are the ones who had contact with the source, and he gave them the information that they could release about this. So I've had them on. And apparently, the source that they were talking to apparently said that they had had contact with the extraterrestrials who told them this is coming. We have to take a break, and then we'll be back with Dick Criswell right after this.
We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Dick Criswell. And Dick, when we went away, I was just saying that the Pickering brothers indicated that their source, whom they call Source A, and I am so glad they didn't say Mr. X or Source X. Everybody always uses X. Anyway, they said that their source, whom they call Source A, said that there had been contact, and I think you said the same thing, where the extraterrestrials made it clear to either our military or government leader, somebody, that this is the case, that they are going to show up, and they'd better that the governments had better start getting the population acclimated to the idea.
I think they, from my understanding of it, it was the military that they had contacted and told them if they didn't start getting their act together, it would just be too late, and then they're the ones that would have egg on their face.
Yeah. All right. Tell you what, I think what I want to do is open up the telephone lines and allow folks to call in if they have a question or a comment. And the telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 480-553-7232. Let me give it to you again. It is 480-553-7232. Now, our flash messages have not been working well. And I did some work on that last night and today, and they are functioning well again. So if you're outside of Canada and the USA, you can send me a flash message, or you can call that phone number. But if you don't want to make that international long-distance call, send a flash message, and you send it by simply going to my website. Scroll down under the picture of Dick Criswell. You'll see a link that says flash message. And you just use that and send it on to us, and it will begin to flash on my screen. That's why we call it that. And we'll know that we've received a message. I'll read it, and we'll ask him to respond to it. If you're in Canada or in the USA, please use the telephone number, 480-553-7232. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. I'd like to, like I asked a couple other guests, you know, about disclosure, you know, and what Mr. Criswell was talking about, you know, that there's going to be a massive landing, you know, and I asked that, you know, when the government comes out with this, you know, they're going to have to paint them in some kind of color, you know, to acclimate the society. But if they wait and they don't say anything, and there is a massive landing, you know, I don't want to color certain people in the nation, but, you know, if this happens, some people are going to lock and load, you know, and I think that's going to be the worst scenario, you know. I think that's going to scare people. And what do you think about that?
What do you think, Dick?
I don't think lock and load would happen to some of these people because, kind of like you've seen before on some of the sci-fi channels, I know for a fact that there's kind of like a force field, and I don't think you can touch some of these people. So, you know, I mean, they're not going to come out there in the open and without any kind of shield, so to speak.
So they don't have anything to worry about.
Getting, you know, hurting the aliens or whatever, but just that the people's response. You know, that's what we're going to have to deal with. They're not going to know what to expect from them.
Well, let's put it this way. I'd probably trust the aliens a lot further than I'd trust my government officials.
Oh, I agree with you there. I agree with you there.
Terry, thanks for the call.
Sure. Thanks, Evan.
Uh-huh. All right, 480-553-7232, and we'd be more than happy to hear from you. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello there, Kevin. Hey there, Dick. How's it going, buddy?
Hi, Kevin. A long time no hear from.
Yeah, I know. It's been three long days. What happens in France, if you guys need a translator, I do speak perfect French, by the way. I did go to French school up here in Canada. I wanted to ask you, Dick, you know these military documents about the life on the other planets, do they specify what kind of life it is, like if it's just a base there, if it's animal life or whatnot, or is it very, very broad?
It was very, very broad. It said there was life on these planets. It didn't go into detail like you'd want it to, what some of these life forces look like, other than the fact they were talking about Venusians being kind of like us, you know. But some of the planets, like Pluto, they never went into detail on it.
Yeah, and also I heard something on distant Miranda. There's apparently there's been some activity over there. If you look at the scar on that planet, that's actually one of the moons over there. Neptune's moons, or is it one of Uranus's moons? I keep forgetting. And apparently, from what I've heard, what happened with Mars was that the asteroid that hit that thing was because of an incoming planet that was coming through the solar system. You guys were talking about Nibiru earlier in the show, and that during one of their flybys, they sent hurtling some rocks and whatnot on Mars, and that's what pretty much killed that planet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's an interesting theory.
All right. Kevin, thanks for the call.
All right, thanks.
All right. It would seem to me if you have Planet X or Nibiru or whatever you wish to call it, if that is a reality, which the evidence is that it is a reality, and if it is incoming, if it's moving this way, it would seem to me that it would be pushing some forces in front of it that could perturb some space rocks out there, some meteors or whatever, that maybe some asteroids, that then may show up as fireballs here on Earth, and maybe even something a little more devastating. So it doesn't seem a stretch to me that could have been what happened to Mars. It could be.
Anything's possible.
Yeah. All right, the telephone number is 480-553-7232 if you have a question or a comment for Dick Criswell. Remember, Dick Criswell was part of the AlphaCom team, has above top secret clearance, and there are a lot of things that if you ask, he may have to say, well, I can't talk about that, but there are many things that you can ask that he can talk about, and he's told us some amazing things. Dick, one of the things you told us about in a previous show is that we were talking about this sort of a photo album that you had the access to that showed pictures of various alien species or alien races. And one of those, I think it was you that told us about this, was sort of like just kind of a blob and didn't really have, a specific shape. It was more kind of just a blob. Was that you that told us about that?
No, I didn't tell you that, but I have seen a picture that this thing looks jelly-like.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I was the one that told you that, but it looked jelly-like a form to where it didn't conform to anything. It was just, it was transparent and looked like a jelly-type looking thing.
And they said that this was an intelligent life form.
That's what they said.
On, there's a sci-fi series called Doctor Who. And there is one episode where they're dealing with just such a thing. And I have wondered, well, what did they know? Where did they get that information? But they dealt with this sort of a jelly-like life form, and it could temporarily take a shape, and then it would re-blob again. And you also told us about a particular race, and I find this one to be also very interesting, that look almost like birds. That one, they stand upright. They're sort of humanoid shaped, but look like birds. They have feathers.
Well, they got a bird looking face to them. They have a regular body to them, but they have feathers.
What are they in contact with our government? And if so, what are they doing? What are they up to?
Now, I have never seen a document saying that they were in contact with our government, but in this scrapbook that I've seen, they must have been in touch with them, because how in the hell would they got a picture of them? That's you know, I believe everyone that they had a picture of in this scrapbook, they had contact with them. So it leads me to believe that, you know, they have met and told them where they come from and so forth. Now, I had a really interesting thing. I don't think I ever told you about this. I had a preacher friend of mine that said that he was down in, I can't remember what street it was, in Indianapolis, and he had actually seen one of these bird looking beings, and he said he had to look back again, and he was driving a car, and he said he went around the block, and he said that these people were gone, but he says he swears to me that he had seen one of these bird looking people.
You know, some of the ancient carvings, you know, in ancient architecture, and I'm talking thousands of years ago, but some of those ancient carvings depict people that were, they look like a human, all the rest of their body, but they had that bird head, and you see this particularly down in South America and in Egypt. And that shows up on the carvings and paintings of those ancient cultures. Let's go back to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
I'm going to take you back to the beginning of the show.
All right.
When they, could it be possible that the military realizes that the war that Ed Grimsley is looking at through his night vision goggles, is going, they know it's going to escalate, so they don't want anybody to see it?
I hadn't thought of that.
That's a good possibility.
Yeah.
That's a good possibility. I never thought of that. Did you, Kevin?
No, I didn't. But obviously, anything that's moving out there, they're going to pick it up on those satellites. That's what those satellites do. They're surveillance satellites. So, yeah, could be. All right, the telephone number is 480-553-7232. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Brandon from Houston.
Okay, Brendan, if I could get you to speak directly into your phone. We can barely hear you.
Okay, yeah. Hi, Kevin, this is Brandon. Hi, Dick. It's good to hear from you again. Quick question. Do you think that a Kokomo incident is at all related to that low-level humming noise that's been reported around Kokomo for many years?
I don't know. What do you think, Dick?
You know, that could be. I have personally tried to find what those people have talked about, the hum, but the problem is only certain people hear that hum. I wasn't able to track it down when I went up there. I had asked several people if they had heard the hum, and Some of them hear it, and some of them don't. So I don't know what makes that hum, but it's still going on, as a matter of fact, because I have people tell me about that all the time. But I'm not sure that that's connected.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious, because you kind of hear a lot of, you know, stories. You know, some people have actually moved away from the town because of that, but who knows what the actual sound, where the sound's actually coming from.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot.
I'm not familiar with the hum. What's the deal with that?
Well, there was a whole bunch of people. This has been... Oh, 10 years or better that the people were talking that they heard a hum, and it was just about driving them crazy in their head.
Mm-hmm.
They were hearing this hum, and there was several scientists at one time converged on Kokomo to find out where that hum was coming from. And
well, I mean, is this like a hum in the air, or it's a hum that's coming from under the ground, or where?
Well, it was underground. That's what I heard from some of the witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when I went up there and checked it out, I never I couldn't hear the hum. Of course, maybe I'm not sensitive enough. I don't know.
Well, you know, the thing is that there are some frequencies that some people can hear that other people cannot hear. And so this may be at a frequency that's lower than normal hearing range. And only a few people that have exceptional hearing range could hear it.
I've heard of that before. Yeah, that's right.
All right, I have a, let me give the phone number again, 480-553-7232. And I have a flash message that came in from London. And it says, hi, Kevin, I'm a big fan, been listening for a few years now. Man, the amount of times I've stayed up to hear you live are many, as I live in London. I have a request. Please, please, please get some guest on that you can say live on the air that they're talking bull and their story is make-believe. I would like to hear some exposing of the BSers, and I know many other listeners who agree with me. Well, if you've been listening to me for many years, then you've heard me do that. In fact, I had one very famous name that hung up on me and would not continue the interview because I called his hand on some of the things he was saying. And, you know, it's, I try not to get those kind of people on the air, but, when I do get them on the air, I do that. And that was a memorable interview too. It lasted 26 minutes and the guy bailed out. Okay, 480-553-7232. Dick, a lot of the things that you talk to us about here on the show are bizarre things. Whenever you look at these things from the perspective, the standpoint of the, you know, just normal, everyday, average person, some of these things would be bizarre, like we were talking about these bird people.
Right.
Just bizarre. As you got into the AlphaCom situation and you started becoming exposed to this information, did you ever have the reaction as they presented you with information? Did you ever have the reaction, this is crazy, this is nuts, this can't be true?
Kevin, all the time. All the time. I mean, you know, I knew some of the stuff, you know, was right on, but some of the stuff they would give you, you'd think, hey, wait a minute, this is really out of Star Trek or something.
Yeah, it just can't be real.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go back to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Yeah.
I just had, when you talk about that low frequency,
mm-hmm.
I heard about that and looked into it, and what was come of that was it's a low EMP or whatever that we use to talk to submarines, but now they're trying to use that over the horizon, HARP and stuff.
They're using that in Indiana?
Yep, that's what I understand.
There aren't any submarines in Indiana.
No, that's where they out underneath the ground. I mean, probably through their tunnels and stuff, you know, because there's submarine ports, I hear, that go clear up into Mississippi River, clear up into almost the middle of the country. That's what I heard it was.
Huh.
So
okay.
I just wanted to add that.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
I wasn't aware we had submarines up in the Mississippi, but I guess, as you said, anything's possible. That's a big river.
I've heard the same story that he talked about, but I've never had any corroboration or seen any documentation on that.
All right, the telephone number, folks, is 480-553-7232, and the telephone lines are open. The Flash message line is open, so if you live outside of the USA and you live outside of Canada, you can go over to kevinsmithshow.com, and you'll see a link that says Flash message. Use that, and then you don't have to pay for an international long-distance call. Dick, how did you handle when you were presented this information from AlphaCom? And it was just bizarre, and it was like, man, this is crazy. This can't be true. How did you handle that? How did you assimilate that information?
Well, when I'd read that stuff, I'd have to go back to our founder, Dr. Michael Wolf, and I'd say to him, "Are you sure that this is true?" And he says, "I wouldn't have handed it to you if I knew that it was false." He said, "I want you to know everything that goes on here that we know about." And he said that he'd read it before he passed it on to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume, you know, of course, assume you know what that means.
Yeah.
that was correct.
Uh-huh. Now, when they had these pictures of all these different extraterrestrial races, did they have any notes with those pictures, like the name of the race or where they're from, anything like that?
No. They were just pictures and sketches, you know, kind of like one of the sketches I sent you. You know, that reptoid.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of these were photographs, though, right?
Most of them were photographs, yes.
That means that they had to be standing there looking at them, pointing a camera at them to take the picture.
Yes, you know, how else would they have taken them?
Well, I don't know of any other way you could take the pictures, but we'll talk about that when we come back from this break. And, ladies and gentlemen, we will continue on the other side of this break with Dick Criswell. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Our telephone number is 480-553-7232. And my guest this evening, Dick Criswell, founder of IPUS and also a former member of the AlphaCom team. And he's sharing with us some things about what he discovered when he was in AlphaCom. Some of the things that we've talked about, I mean, Dick, you and I have talked about on air some of these things, before, but there's so much that I've got a whole bunch of questions I couldn't get into one, two, or even three programs. And so that's why I'm kind of delving into the AlphaCom material again. AlphaCom was responsible for gathering all this information and developing a briefing that was given to President Bill Clinton and Vice President Al Gore, if I understand what you've told us previously. Is that correct?
That's correct. And then it would have been brought to the American public after the president and vice president had seen the documents that we had.
Were you a part of that briefing?
Absolutely.
So there's no question in your mind that that briefing took place?
Absolutely.
Who did this briefing?
Dr. Michael Wolff. I was on a four-way conversation. Him, Bill Clinton, and Gore, and myself was on the phone at that time.
So you heard President Clinton, I guess, talking with Dr. Wolff. You heard him ask questions. You recognized who it was.
Yes.
And the same with Al Gore?
Correct.
Why do you suspect that after this briefing, these two gentlemen have been so tight-lipped? Now, I know the Monica Lewinsky thing came up, and then the Kosovo involvement came up, and that was a big distraction, and so the general public never got the disclosure that you guys expected would happen. But we're past that now, and neither one of these guys is in office anymore. Why do you suspect they are so tight-lipped about this?
Well, I think they were, how should I say this? I think they're just kind of like all the presidents where they know certain things that they just don't say anything about it.
All right. Do you think that if enough time passed without disclosure, and these gentlemen are reaching the twilight years of their lives, that they would come out and talk as some of the military people have, or do you think they would keep it quiet?
Well, I believe that Bill Clinton would. I don't know about Gore, you know, because he's so prim and proper.
Well, yeah, he is. But, you know, he is also the founder of Current TV, a cable TV channel.
Well,
and it could be that some of this might end up on Current TV. That would be a kick in the head.
Yeah, but he also discovered the Internet. Don't you recall that?
Well, yeah, I think he sort of didn't say exactly what he meant there. But, no, he is definitely the founder of Current TV. And one of the things that happens on Current TV is people like you, like me, just people around the country, using the guidelines, the production guidelines provided by Current TV, produce segments that are then aired on Current TV. It's almost like the Internet has gone to television. And it's kind of like a cable TV version of YouTube, almost. And so it would seem to me that if he's been briefed on this and someone out there produced a segment about extraterrestrials and UFOs, and if they did it, you know, with really good production, it would seem to me he would be open to putting that on Current TV.
You know, personally, I don't think Gore would be the one to put it on TV. I think it would have to be somebody more colorful like Bill Clinton.
Well, if there's anything you can say about Bill, it is that he is colorful.
That's correct.
All right. Now, let's talk about the possibilities of disclosure. Are you still connected? Are you still getting briefed from people on the inside?
Certainly, yes.
What are they telling you about the probabilities of official disclosure?
The last time I talked to this general that I talked to, he told me that it was about 90% certain that we were going to go forward with this project.
This project meaning what? Disclosure?
Disclosure, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, and this is a general.
Correct.
In that 10%, what constitutes the 10%? What is it that could hold it back?
I don't think that was ever specified.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you what the general had told me. And I'd never asked him what would stop it. So,
all right, well, let's talk about this aspect of it then. In all of your time with AlphaCom, did you see any information that corroborated the rumors that have been all over the internet for years now, the rumors about crashed UFOs that have been recovered and are in the possession of our military? Did you see anything that corroborated that and said, yes, that's the case?
Yes, but under my agreement, I can't tell you specific cases.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. But I just wanted to establish whether that is in fact the case, that we have recovered crashed UFOs. All right, now, do you think that whenever disclosure happens, they're going to bring any of those out and show the public, or are they going to show photographs of them? Do you think that's going to happen?
I think that that's going to be part of the history. In other words, they're actually going to outline it, you know, what year these crashes happened and where, and picture descriptions of the craft that they recovered. I believe that'll happen.
Do you think that when that happens, all of these debunkers that are like professional debunkers are going to then go to work on these photographs presented by the military, by the government, and try to prove the government's lying about this?
I think they'll just go away. That's what I think.
Well, yeah, you know, their book sales will plummet, I can tell you that. The reason I ask that is because one of the best ways that the government could put a stop to all of that would be, don't show us pictures. Put that thing on a U-Haul trailer and drag it out in public.
That'd be good.
Yeah, and there you've got all the news people and their cameras, and everybody can walk around it, take photographs, shoot video, ask questions. That would be the way to do it.
And by the way, if you got bodies, bring them out too.
Yeah, that might be cool. All right, now, what about that? We've heard a lot of rumors that along with recovered UFOs, there have been recovered as well bodies of extraterrestrials that were in these crashed UFOs. Did you see evidence? I don't just mean suggestions, but did you see in those files corroborative evidence that says that's the case, that we do have the bodies of some crashed aliens?
Yes, and they would say how many. And in some cases, some of the cases I've seen, they'd even give a description.
You say they do give a description?
They do give a description in some cases. Some cases said three bodies were found and that was it. They wouldn't go into detail.
And in these descriptions, were these beings, these bodies, were they the grays, or was it the grays in some cases and something else in other cases?
Well, there was some grays, yes, and some other people on board, different beings.
Uh-huh. Any human-looking ones?
Yes.
All right, now, one of the things that I've heard that the government position is that they would be really, really nervous about human-looking extraterrestrials just showing up here on Earth because they would look just like us. They could just mix right in with us, and we would never know. Was there some concern like that?
No, because some of those aliens are among us right now, and you couldn't tell the difference.
Are you one?
No.
I had to ask, you know.
I know.
All right. All right. Now, how do they keep track of them? Or do they keep track of...
I don't think that there's any way that they can keep track of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, some of our people that have tracking devices in them. I don't think they've got tracking devices in some of these people. Now, maybe some of the ones I've seen in the pictures, of the aliens, maybe they've got them tagged some way and keep track of them certain ways, but, who knows?
All right, Dick, let me ask you a question about the moon. Did you follow, because I can't remember how this fit in the timeline with your heart attack and then all your hospital stay and everything, so maybe you were able to follow this, maybe you weren't. This videos came out. This guy says that this is Apollo 20. It was a secret mission. He names himself and two other people that flew the Apollo 20 mission. And they went to the moon to try to investigate this anomaly that showed up in photographs from Apollo 17. And what they found was a crashed ship. And then they also found a body of a female, and that was in the videos. Now, did you follow all of that?
I just briefly did. When I was in my hospital room.
Mm-hmm. So you haven't seen the video with that female's picture in it?
Absolutely not.
Okay, we have to take a break. We come back, we'll talk some more with Dick Criswell, and the phone line is open for you. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and to my guest, Dick Criswell. We are on final approach, meaning we only have a few minutes left in this evening's program. If you wish to ask a question or if you wish to make a comment, the telephone number is 480-553-7232. Again, 480-553-7232. And if you're going to do that, you need to rush to your phone and do it now because we're running out of time. Dick, this female appeared to be, I would say, kind of flash frozen. She had almost Egyptian features. It was hard to tell because, first of all, a lot of these videos have been pretty much debunked. But here's my question about it. If there are people who live on the moon or who have, do we know what they looked like, and did they have sort of Egyptian features?
Trying to recall what document I seen. There was life on the moon, but it wasn't anything that looked like Egyptian. They talked about the Greys, and they talked about the Nordic-looking people. And I think that was the only two that they had talked about.
And are they supposedly still there, alive?
When the document was there, it said yes, they were alive, because they had some kind of base on the backside of the moon.
What do you think about that? You think that's, how do you respond to that? Is that real?
I believe so, because that's, we never did see that side of the moon. It's always facing us.
Yeah.
When I seen the document, I said, well, that wouldn't make sense, because you'd never see that. We just have that one side looking at us all the time. It doesn't revolve like the Earth does.
All right, let's go back to the phone line for our final phone call. And caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. Stefan from Quebec City. How are you?
Great, Stefan. How are you?
Fantastic. Great show, Mr. Criswell. I really enjoy listening to you, so thank you for being on the show as well.
Thank you very much.
My comment is actually towards disclosure and contact, is that...
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
They're probably the same thing, are they? I mean, one is probably going to precipitate the other. If disclosure happens, it's going to force contact for sure, and same thing with contact. It's going to force disclosure. Should we just consider them as being almost the same thing?
Well, it's kind of like I made the comment that if disclosure doesn't happen, we'll know when they land. So, it would be too late for the disclosure project to happen. If they land in mass quantity, then you'd have to say, well, they're here, you know, and they would have egg on their face.
So, but disclosure could happen before, couldn't it?
On this, if they'll say it's a black ops or something like that, I mean, how will the people really know that it's actual aliens if it's black budget military op?
Well, believe me, when the aliens had told the military, if they don't say that, actually acknowledge that they're here, and kind of come out with the facts as they know them, you'll see that they some of them look different and so forth, so that there's no way that it would be black ops.
Yeah, I see what you mean. And probably also we'll probably have a sixth sense sort of feeling about the whole thing as well, I guess, when that time comes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Criswell. Thank you, Kevin, and great show, as usual.
All right. Thanks for the call. I think a lot of folks have sort of that sixth sense feeling already that something's up, something is about to happen. And, maybe that is what Stefan is referring to, but I think it's already happening. A lot of people sense that something is about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we've got just a couple of minutes or so here before we have to bring this flight of the show to a landing. Dick, while you've been in the hospital and you've been away from all these activities that you were involved with so much every single day, you've still stayed briefed. You've stayed up to date on what's happening. What seems to you to be the biggest thing that happened while you were in the hospital? What's the biggest event that we need to look at?
Well, one of the biggest things was the Kokomo incident, and I never figured that I'd get to talk to one of the guys that actually seen it. That just kind of happened by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And that was big, but I think the biggest thing was when I got a call from a general that's not even, you know, connected to AlphaCom, or was, you know, connected to AlphaCom, and he stated to me, he said, would you be interested in a project? We're trying to come up with a new project for disclosure. And I said, oh, yeah. So that would be probably the biggest thing since I've been away.
All right, so the biggest thing was that you were contacted and asked if what you thought about doing AlphaCom again.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be AlphaCom. It'd be another name.
Uh-huh, but it'd be basically the same project, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Is that going to happen, Dick?
I think so, but, you know, each day comes, I think we're running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, you know, we're right in that time period, 2009, 2010. If we don't hurry up, you know, we'll be out of the game.
So if the general is listening, hurry.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Dick, do you still have your IPAS website?
I certainly do.
Tell us the web address.
Okay, it's IPASnetwork.com.
All right, IPASnetwork.com. And if people have a UFO sighting or an encounter with an extraterrestrial, do you have the means there on that website for them to report that so you guys can investigate it?
Absolutely. They can either write it there or they can give us a call and, you know, they can talk to me live.
All right. And then your investigators around the country would take the case and go investigate that, right?
That's correct.
All right. All right. Now, we're out of time. I want to thank you, Dick, for being with us. And I know that it's kind of a stretch for you even now, but you sound so much better.
Well, I feel much better. I didn't realize how close to death I was, but my wife said there was about three times there that I could have slipped from them, and I really didn't know that I was that close.
All right, just stay on the phone line with me for just a moment as I close the show, and again, thanks for being with us. All right, folks, Dick Criswell. Always interesting, huh? My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.